Open your Bibles, if you would, to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. A little drink. Psalm 89, the name of the message is Blessed Covenant People. Blessed Covenant People. Psalm 89, we'll be reading verses 1 to 18 to start. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord. Thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be head in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee, thou rulest the raging of the sea, when the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces, as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy right hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horns shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. God's blessed covenant people. This psalm here declares before us God's covenant promises made with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will see how they are in Him, and how they are certain, and how they are eternal. Let us note the following four verses in this psalm. Look at verse 2. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. Look at verse 28. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. And then look at verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. And then look at verse 37. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. This is all speaking of God's covenant. And here we have plainly and powerfully brought before us the fact that God's covenant promises are certain and they cannot be broken. They're certain and they cannot be broken. That which God decrees shall come to pass. That which God decrees shall come to pass. Look at verse 34 again. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. This psalm is called by several commentators the Majestic Covenant Psalm. The Majestic Covenant Psalm. And we're seeing in this psalm the covenant mercies that we as believers have in Christ. that we as believers have in Christ and the faithfulness of our surety and of our covenant God who rules over them all. See, part of our security for us, because we know how fickle we can be, part of our security is knowing how secure we are in our covenant God, that He never changes. And that brings us hope, doesn't it? Because we all know we all struggle. We all struggle. We struggle with unbelief. We struggle with doubt. We struggle with all kinds of things, don't we? All the time. All of us do. But knowing that our God is a covenant God and that His covenant is sure and His covenant is established, and it's established by His word, by His oath, we'll see that, can bring the believer great peace in the midst of all kinds of things that occur, and even just in everyday life where we can struggle through different things. So let us first consider some of the references to our great Savior. We're not going to exhaust them all in this psalm, but let us consider some of them. Some of the references to our great Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in this psalm. And then we're considered the covenant people who are blessed in Christ by these promises in the psalm. Look at verse 1. Let's start in verse 1. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. Now note in verse 1 the mercies of the Lord. And we know that mercy only comes to we who believe through Christ, right? There's no other way it comes to us. It's only through Christ and Christ alone. And note in verse 2, mercy shall be built up. The scriptures declare, mercy shall be built up. Christ is indeed the mercy built up by Jehovah. Forever in Him shall His covenant people be blessed. Forever. And it's not just for the saints who have gone before us and for us, but the saints who shall come. Right? It's built up upon. One commentator, Hawker, was saying that it's built up as the mercy is built up in the sense that mercy is shown to God's elect as they're regenerated. And they have no idea that they're the elect, but the Lord saves them through the preaching of the gospel. It's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. Built up by Jehovah forever in Christ. And His covenant people are only blessed in Him. Think of this. There's not a single mercy for any of the fallen race of Adam outside of Christ. Not a single drop of mercy outside of Christ. Is there? And that's what it makes For we who believe, that's what leaves us in awe when we think that God had mercy upon us, that God chose us in this wonderful covenant that we're going to look at, that we're chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. It just magnifies His glory and magnifies who He is even more and more. Note the covenant God makes with His people in Christ. Here we see David. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Note the covenant God makes with His people in Christ. David is a picture of Christ. And we know who the true David is spoken of. We know who the true David is spoken of. The chosen one. That's Christ, beloved, who is the servant of the Father in redemption. And note this covenant is with His seed, and that seed shall be established. Note in our text how the covenant here is confirmed. I want us to look at this. Note how the covenant here is confirmed. It's I'm sorry. Excuse me. It's confirmed, first of all, by decree. By decree. Look at this. I have made a covenant with my chosen. So it's confirmed by decree. It's confirmed by decree. And then notice it's also, and that's in verse 3, it's also confirmed by promise. Look at in verse 4. I will establish forever. So it's by promise. So it's confirmed by decree. It's confirmed by promise. But look, it's also confirmed by an oath. Look at verse 3. I have sworn. This is God speaking. So this covenant is confirmed by decree. I have made a covenant with my chosen. By promise, I establish forever. And by oath, I have sworn. The covenant is decreed by God, promised by God, and sealed by His Word. And it's all in Christ Jesus our Lord. All in Him. And this is why there is absolutely no comfort and no hope in free will, non-sovereign grace gospel. There's no hope. There's no comfort in it. Because God is the one who has established this covenant. God's the one who's promised. God's the one who by an oath has sworn that this covenant shall stand and is established. So there's no hope in a free will gospel. The only hope we have is in the gospel of free grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, because it is secure and it is established by God's covenant, by God's covenant, and by His decree, by His promise, and by His oath. My. So we have solid ground, beloved. God Himself has told us that He will never, ever leave us. Never. My goodness. Look at verse 19. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One, and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. Now Christ alone is mighty to pardon. Christ alone. He's mighty to reconcile. He's mighty to justify. He's mighty to save. He's mighty to redeem. He's mighty to bring us to glory. And He alone is the one who's mighty, beloved. Turn, if you would, to Isaiah 42. He alone is the one who is mighty. And He's the one who's being exalted and chosen by God out of the people. Remember, Scripture says, a body thou hast prepared for me. And then also put your finger in Philippians chapter 2. So we'll look at an Old Testament portion, and then we'll see it in New Testament too. So Isaiah 42 and Philippians chapter 2. He is the only one who's mighty. He's chosen by God out of the people. Look at Isaiah 42:1 in light of Psalm 89:19. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. So this is speaking of Christ. Just like Psalm 89:19 is speaking of Christ. Then look at over at Philippians chapter 2. And remember Psalm 89:19. I'll read it. Then thou speakest in vision to thy Holy One and saidest, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. So we saw that in Isaiah. Now look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. He was a servant, beloved. And took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Christ alone is the mighty one. Christ alone. Christ alone is the mighty Savior. He has finished the work, and there is none to come after him. None to come out. Nothing needs to be added. It's a perfect, finished work. Perfect. And that's what we rest in, don't we, as believers? We rest in His finished work. And Christ is beloved of God and highly esteemed and valued by God. And we see Him typified both as King and Prophet. Look at Psalm 89, verse 20. Psalm 89, verse 20. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him. Now turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 18. And this is speaking of Christ, beloved. This is speaking of Christ. With my holy oil I anointed him. This points right to Christ. Look what he proclaimed in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Oh my. In recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Good news, beloved. Good news. Brokenhearted. When the Lord is bringing us to Himself, we become brokenhearted over our sin, don't we? We become brokenhearted. And look at this. Preach deliverance to the captives. We were shut up in the prison cell of sin. We couldn't get out. We couldn't get out. He delivered us, beloved. And recovering sight to the blind. Well, we were blind as bats before the Lord saved us, weren't we? We had no idea who God was. Now, we had a God of our imagination, but we had no idea who God was until He showed us who He was, until He revealed to us who He was. And to set at liberty them that are bruised. Oh, He set His people free, hadn't He? Hallelujah. And that's what we say, don't we? We're excited. We have freedom in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're more free now than we've ever been before. It's wonderful. Now, we need never to doubt the excellency and authority and certainty and sufficiency of the gospel. Because God Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the heart of the gospel. It's good news for His covenant people because it proclaims what He has done for us. It's good news. It's good news. Let's look at verse 27 of Psalm 89. Look at this. And also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. Christ is the firstborn of every creature, and we know that from our study in Colossians. I won't have you turn there, but I'll read Colossians chapter 1. If you want to turn there, you can. Colossians 1, 15 to 18. Christ is the firstborn of every creature, and in all things He has the preeminence. And we know that from our study. Again, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So we see how Old Testament scriptures tie in with New Testament scriptures. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. They point right to Christ. Look at verse 29 of Psalm 89. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and His throne is the days of heaven. Scripture here declares, His seed also will I make to endure forever, and His throne as the days of heaven. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Our Lord's kingdom, beloved, will never end. Will never end. It's eternal. His throne and His kingdom will never end. Never be moved. Look what the angel proclaimed to Mary here in Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary. There's two words that are very precious to the believer. Fear not. For thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Look at this. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Again, we see Old Testament Scripture tying right in with New Testament Scripture, beloved. Tying right in. It's wonderful. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and His throne is the days of heaven. There be no end to our great God and King's reign and rule. And then look at verse 36. In reference to Christ. His seed shall endure forever, and His throne as the sun before me. Christ shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. His throne also is perpetual and glorious, never ending. Forever, as one commentator brings forth, it shall shine as the sun. Forever. Think of this. Other kingdoms have risen and fallen. Other kingdoms have risen and fallen. They rise up, and now they're ruins that people visit. Ancient Greece, such a powerful empire. You go visit the ruins now. The Roman Empire, so powerful, you can visit the ruins. The Egyptian Empire, so powerful, you can go visit the ruins. So other empires, other kingdoms have risen up. Kingdoms and thrones have risen, and they're now in ruins, but not the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the kingdom of the Lord. The throne and kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is an everlasting, everlasting dominion, everlasting throne. It'll never pass away. Turn, if you would, to Daniel chapter 7. Look at this. This is wonderful. His kingdom will never be destroyed. Never. So that means no one can come against our great God. Now, people, I was reading an article today about Brother Henry Mahan had written it. I might put it in the bulletin down the road. It was very sobering, but talk about the great, great last day. And he said, what will people say? They have nothing to say at all as they stand there before our great God and King. Where will they be boasting about their righteousness then? No. Will they be boasting about the things that they did? No. No. No, they will hear the words, depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, my. What a sobering time. But we who are redeemed will go into glory. It's amazing. It's incredible. All because of what He's done. We will enter into His rest because of what He's done. Absolutely nothing of what we've done. It's marvelous. And His kingdom will never end, never be destroyed. Listen, Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. It'll never pass away. Never. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. It'll never pass away, and it'll never be destroyed. Therefore, we who are His sheep will be forever secure in our great God and King. It's wonderful. You see the fallacy and the of people who say you can lose your salvation? They don't know what salvation is. They have no idea. The salvation that we as believers have in Christ is sure. Because it's in Christ. It's in Him. This covenant is established, beloved, by God's decree, by God's promise, and by God's oath. My, that just makes my heart sing. It's wonderful. Look at verse 3 again. Look at verse 3. It says, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Now God the Father has made a covenant with God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And here before us, God the Father is speaking of a covenant He's made with David. But a greater than David is here spoken of. A greater than David is here spoken of. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved. God the Father has made with Christ the Mediator, the Word of God, a covenant which shall stand fast. And there will be no canceling it or disannulling it. It's sure. It's sure. Thomas Brooks, an old Puritan, brings this forth. God the Father hath not only made a covenant of grace with the saints in Christ, but He has also made a covenant of redemption, as we call it for distinction's sake, with Jesus Christ Himself. My covenant shall stand fast with Him, meaning Christ. Stands fast with Christ. And think of this, we're in Christ. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Just wonderful. Our God is a covenant God. We know that. We know that from studying Scripture. Our God is a covenant God. Therefore, His covenant people must be blessed. Those He chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Note in verses 15, 16, and 17, the Scriptures declare some truths about these covenant people and how blessed they are. And that they will rejoice in their covenant God because He is our righteousness and our strength. Look at verses 15, 16, and 17. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For Thou art the glory of their strength, and in Thy favor our horn shall be exalted. So what are some things that God's people know from these verses here? Well, let's look first of all. They know the joyful sound of the gospel, beloved. They know the joyful sound of the gospel. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in Thy light of Thy countenance. Those spoken of in verse 15 here are God's sheep. God's elect. God's sheep by covenant. Chosen by God. In Christ. And they know the voice of the shepherd. The Lord Jesus Christ. Because God gives us hearing ears, doesn't He? We saw that in Luke. He gives sight to the blind. And they follow Him with great gladness and joy, and they delight in the Savior. Scripture declares this, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life. He gives it to us. Not one of us would have sought it. But He gives it to us. It's a gift. And they shall never perish. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one. So God's people have victory over their sin in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through His shed blood and the joyful sound that we know is pardon and peace with God. Pardon and peace with God through Christ. And what do we love to hear more than anything? The gospel of our great Savior. Again, tell me about Christ. I'll turn the sermon on, and if a man don't talk about Christ within 2 or 3 minutes, I shut it off. You can tell what a person preaches with very quickly. Very, very quickly. Very quickly. Look at this. These covenant people who are blessed by God shall walk in the light of His countenance. Look at verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound, so they've heard the gospel. God's given them hearing ears. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of Thy countenance. They once walked in darkness. They once walked in darkness. They couldn't see a thing. But they've been translated into the kingdom of light. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. They've been translated into the kingdom of light in and through the Lord Jesus Christ by the quickening, regenerating power of the Holy Spirit of God. And now they see beauty in the one who they once despised. We know what that's like, brother. We see beauty in Him. Beauty in Him. See, beauty in the great Redeemer, the one who has delivered our souls from darkness. The darkness of sin that we were in. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And look at, for God who commanded the light. If God don't command the light, there's not going to be any light. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, we walk in the light of His countenance, beloved. We walk in the light of His countenance. The darkened hearts of God's saved sheep have been illuminated. In our natural state, our hearts were darkened. and our eyes were blind, and we didn't have hearing ears to hear the gospel. But we've been illuminated. We've had the scriptures illuminated to us. We were regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God through the preaching of the gospel. Quickened by the Holy Spirit. This again, to see the glory, the beauty, and the necessity. That's a key too. The necessity of our great Redeemer. No one will ever come to Christ unless God shows them their need. And we're all witnesses to that, we who believe. Because God showed us our need, didn't He? He revealed Himself through the preaching of the gospel. Also, let's note that they shall rejoice in His name all the day. Look at verse 16. In Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. And here we have brought forth that believers shall rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We don't rejoice in anyone else. And we have every reason to rejoice, don't we? We have every reason to rejoice in Christ. Because there's salvation in no other. We have every reason to rejoice over the fact that He chose us in eternity. We have every reason to rejoice in the fact that we once sat in darkness, but now we're translated into His kingdom. We have many reasons to rejoice. But the flesh, right? The Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. My. But think of this. We have there's salvation in no other. He alone is all our salvation, all our hope. And we who believe have no confidence in the flesh. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. So we can rejoice in the fact that God has brought us to that point where we no longer rejoice in what we used to do. We rejoice in the one who's done it all for us. Christ Jesus our Lord. All of it. All of it. So God's people rejoice in the wonderful Savior because He alone has redeemed them. And He alone has justified them. He alone has saved them from their sins. Therefore, they praise and exalt His holy name. Let us consider also that they should be exalted in His righteousness. They shall be exalted in His righteousness. Verse 16, in Thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in Thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Verse 16. The perfect righteousness that Jesus Christ worked out for His elect has been freely, eternally, and fully imputed to the believer in Christ. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verses 5 to 8. Look at this wonderful truth. Here before us. The believer again is clothed in the Lord's righteousness. Look at this. Romans chapter 4 verses 5 to 8. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works. So note in verse 5, but to him that worketh not. It's not our works that save us. It's His work. It's what He's done. Even as David also described the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven. How many of our iniquities? All of them. All of them. And whose sins are what? Covered. Oh, they're covered by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought and paid everything God demanded. He bought and paid His people. Paid for His people, didn't He? He purchased us with His own precious. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Because our sins were imputed to Christ. It's wonderful. The It's absolutely wonderful. And she'll be exalted in His righteousness. Now we know, turn if you would to Jeremiah chapter 23, and then put your finger in Philippians chapter 3 too. Jeremiah chapter 23, I know I have us turning around quite a bit here. Jeremiah 23 and Philippians chapter 3. The Lord Jesus Christ alone is our righteousness. We see that in the Old Testament, and we're going to see that in the New Testament. We'll see it in both places here. Jeremiah 23, verses 5 to 6. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and the king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Now turn, if you would, to Philippians, and I'm going to read again verse 16 here. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. So we saw in Jeremiah there, the Lord our righteousness. That's his name. He's the Lord our righteousness. Look again at Philippians chapter 3. Look at verses 7 to 9. But what things were gained to me, those I counted for loss. So all the things that Paul once thought were gain, he now just sees them as nothing. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him. Now remember, what's his name? The Lord our righteousness. Right? And remember the psalm. And in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. And be found in him, that's Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. My, God's covenant people, those he chose in eternity, and those who are taken from sin and misery, because that's what we were. We were, well, boy, we were in a bad spot, weren't we? We were miserable. Now, we still struggle with sin. We're not totally delivered from our sin, but one day we will be. But those who are the recipients of God's grace and mercy in Christ know that He alone saves. And He saves all who come to God by Him. Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. Aren't you thankful He made you willing to come to Him? My. He's able to save, isn't He? He's mighty. He's a mighty Savior and a mighty Redeemer. Let us now consider that those who are God's covenant people look to the Lord Jesus Christ alone as our glory and strength. Look at verse 17. For thou art the glory of their strength. And this is still speaking of the covenant people. And in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. We who believe have been taught by God that without Him we can do nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. We know nothing about Him in our natural state, but He proclaimed in John 15:5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me, you can do nothing. We're weak. We have no strength. We have no strength to save ourselves. We're weak. And even after we're saved, we're still really weak. He's the one who keeps us. He's the one who upholds us. There's no salvation out of Christ in any spiritual strength or spiritual knowledge or spiritual gifts that we enjoy and experience must be because of His grace worked within us. Worked within us. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. Worked within us. And again, we considered that over in our study in Colossians. Look at what it proclaims here. So think of that. Any giftings that He's given us, anything, all comes from Him. All comes from Him. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 to 29. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Remember we read in Luke about giving sight to the blind and liberty to those who were captive? Manifest to his saints by the Holy Spirit of God, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Paul knew where all his strength came from. Paul knew where his gift to preach came from. And every gospel preacher will tell you, we've been called to God, and he enables us to preach. It's all him. And it doesn't matter what you're doing in the church. If you have a gift, it's from the Lord. It's from him. It's from him. And everyone has a gift of some kind, but it's from him. Now, edificate, right? We encourage one another too, and there's all kinds of different giftings. So, but it all comes from him. It all comes from him. We can't get proud in what we do, because it all comes from him. I love that last verse. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Mightily. Last, let us consider that the Lord is our defense. Look at verse 18. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. We are unable to defend ourselves against our spiritual enemies, and there are too many of them, and they're too powerful for us to even begin to fight. However, our Lord defeated them all. Defeated them all. He alone won the glorious victory for us. Turn, if you would, to Psalm 98. Psalm 98. He alone defeated sin by making atonement for it. The sinless one dying for sinners. The just one dying for the unjust. Look at Psalm 98, verses 1 to 3. O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation. He reveals it to his people. It's a revelation, beloved. His righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Oh, beloved, he honored the law and fulfilled the law for us, for his covenant people, for every single one of his elect. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. He defeated Satan by crushing his dominion and power. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of bondage were all their lifetime subject to bondage. And he defeated death by raising from the dead. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. What a Savior. And what covenant promises we have in Christ. A sure covenant, beloved. A sure covenant. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Your mercy and grace and goodness to us. We who believe are amazed that You chose us sinners, that You chose us in eternity by Your choice, by Your decree. And we know that our salvation is secure in Christ and Christ alone. And, O Lord, we give You all the glory and all the honor and praise, knowing that we are eternally secure in Thee. Outside of You, there is no hope. There is no hope at all. There is no salvation. But, O Lord, we who are Thy redeemed, we who are born again, whom You've translated from darkness to light, marvel at thy salvation, thy great and wondrous salvation, the gift which we have. All by thy grace, all by thy grace and mercy. We love you and praise you in Jesus' name.